Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Time now for a bit of music on Open House with a really interesting story behind it. This is a group that bridges two generations, families, two genres of music. It's been formed by Joseph Wakeham, who himself comes from a really varied background, former Victorian Multicultural Affairs Commissioner, the founder of the Australian Arabic Council. He's been awarded the Order of Australia Medal for his anti-racism campaigns. Joining Joseph in The Heartbeats is the other generation, Laith, aged 13, 20-year-old Michael, and Lara, aged 14. And they're joining us on Open House to talk about their music, the words behind their music, and we'll hear a bit of their music as well. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great to have you in with us. Joseph, you're really quite well known as a writer, blogger. Where and why did this venture of The Heartbeats begin?
Well, I suppose it's connected to my passion for music, which started long before I was writing. I remember at the age of about 10, I had a passion for music as a middle child with probably middle child syndrome, and didn't have enough money because everything in our family was hand-me-down. So I remember grabbing my brother's fishing lines and my father's wooden fruit boxes from Victoria Market and actually making...
I love it.
...my first guitar. Yeah. It was a disaster. It sounded hideous.
Yeah, I bet.
And I used nails and nearly cut myself with that. But there was a kind soul who took this seriously and said, this kid deserves a real guitar. So ever since then, I've been torturing my siblings with my own compositions.
But the instrument improved, at least.
The instrument, I think it did improve. The technology has helped to tune things. And so the music has really always been there and has enhanced my writing. I think there's a lot of poetic elements in what I do on the blog that come from music. The story of The Heartbeats is a bit of a diversion from that. What happened is that I was playing in bands with people my own age for a very long time. And after I was married to my beloved wife, Nadia, I was very much introduced to Lebanese music, especially the music of Fairuz, the diva of Lebanese folk music, and found it's actually quite accessible, not just to myself, but to a lot of my friends. So we almost became a musical group. My wife and I would play music. I'd play guitar. She would sing. One of my children would play derbaki. The others would dance. So we were almost like a musical group. Mm. But sadly, in 2001, when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, everything started to change. And what happened then is that we found that music was the only salvation left in her, that every part of her body started to shut down, but her musical voice was saved. And at the end of it all, after about 2 years of trying to battle this cancer, when Nadia passed away, I felt that my music also passed away. So I actually put down the guitar for a couple of years. And it was quite sad because my children saw that there was something quite vital missing in my life, in my creativity. And they just asked me a very poignant question, which was, Dad, do you really think that you're making Mum happy by making yourself unhappy? And it was a turning point for me because it really, from a Christian point of view, it just made no sense. How could deprivation and survivor guilt and all these problems make any sense to a person in heaven? And so the kids almost aggressively threw the guitar back in my lap and said, you've got to pick this up again for Mum, and we'll do a deal with you. We'll do music with you as well. Teach us the instruments, but you've got to get back on your feet again. You've got to play music because it's a part of you. And that's essentially the beginning of The Heartbeats, the name coming from the notion that all human life starts and ends with a heartbeat.
How would you describe, with such a story, such a rich story, how would you describe the kind of style of your music, Joseph?
Well, it's inspirational, upbeat music, I would say. I mean, nothing we do has shallow meaning. We'd like to think that it's inspired by a profound story about our human life. And the music itself, we'd like it to be full of hope and optimism and richness. So a lot of our stories are actually inspired by biblical stories, but it's subtle. It's not something that is in your face. And at the same time, the music itself, it's very much a reflection of the four members of The Heartbeats. We're very proud of our faith and also very proud of our ancestry. So all of us being Eastern Christians, we have incorporated part of that into the music itself.
Which I wanted to get to. You describe your music as having a Christian aroma, which is a lovely way of putting it. What do you mean by that? Can you put words to that?
Well, I think it's better demonstrated with the music than with words. But I suppose in words we would say that The music has a hint of Eastern music. It is uses some of the scales of the Middle East, uses some of the percussion, some of the melodies of the Middle East, but it is not overpowering, so it's still very accessible to a predominantly Australian or Western audience, but it does have that hint. So at the end of the song, there's an Eastern flavour that lingers,
which we'll hear in just a moment. Let's bring in your three musical comrades now, Laith, Michael and Lara. Lara, ladies first. Music has played a tremendous part in your young life, hasn't it? Especially with your blindness.
Yeah, it has, because I've always liked music ever since I was little, and I've always found it as something that I could do. And people, they sort of liked listening to it, and they clap, they cheer.
It must feel great.
I like being able to sing and play piano. It's really fun.
Lara, what happens with you before you go on stage?
My mum always tells me before it's my turn to go on stage, she always says, Jesus is with you, and I do believe that.
Joseph, she's really an asset to the band, isn't she, musically?
Well, she is. I mean, Lara more than compensates. Sure, she can't see what's happening, but she uses Braille and has got an unbelievable memory that puts us to shame. So we'd have a rehearsal, make a couple of changes to a song, and the following week we might accidentally forget those changes, and Lara would pull us up and say, stop, that's not what we did last week. So this incredible discipline and really, really sharp memory, sharp in every way, sharp also for notes. So, you know, you can't really pull the wool over her eyes, if you can pardon the pun.
Lara, you've got perfect pitch, have you?
Well, yeah.
I'm in awe. If I said, let me put you on the spot, G sharp, how about that?
Okay. La.
Michael, G sharp. That's pretty good.
So we don't need a tuner anymore. We've got a human tuner.
I'm so impressed.
One of the tricky things with Lara, of course, unlike the rest of the band members, if the audience is enjoying the music, it's instantaneous, it's spontaneous, we know, we feel it. Mm. The tricky thing with Lara is it's not until the end of the song that there's thunderous applause,
yes,
that she realises how much she has touched the audience.
Yes, of course. Lara, how would you say, or could you say, that God has sustained you through the challenges related to your blindness? Where does music fit into that? Would you describe it as a gift from God?
Yeah, I guess I would describe it as a gift from God, because the audience clap after every song, it sort of encourages me to keep singing.
It's great to get that feedback.
Yeah.
Laith, you're a composer. Great achievement, I reckon, for the age of 13.
Thank you.
Michael, you're the percussion man and a rapper. Christian faith is very important for you guys. Michael, what would you say to that?
Christian faith is definitely a big part, if not the biggest part, in my life. Before I joined the band, I did write some rap songs, and I did get to have a chance to rap on stage with Lecrae in Blacktown, which is one of probably the best times of my life.
Great stuff.
I wouldn't be able to write music, wouldn't be able to play music if it wasn't the talent and gift that God had given me. Yeah.
Laith, what would you say? How has it affected your music? How has it impacted your music?
I think I can't really compose any music unless it's for God. Like, God always inspires me, either through some land structure I find, or like once I went to the Great Barrier Reef and I was just stunned just by seeing all this beauty. And without God, I don't think I would have the talent, just like Michael said, either. Everything he has made inspires us.
I'm interested that in your composing you start not with a sound, which is how most composers do, but a vision. Tell me how that works.
As I said, you see a lake, yes, or waterfall. It makes you feel like you're happy, or it might make you cry because it reminds you of something. Well, I paint a picture, a very colourful picture with black and white notes. I just paint it, but with notes, so they make you think, okay, this sounds like trickling water down some rocks, yeah, or something like that, and it will remind you. So the song that the desert that we are about to play was written by me, and I was just thinking for a couple of weeks, I want to write a song about a desert because I saw some pictures of the Sahara Desert and I was just really inspired. So maybe when you hear it later on, you'll see like, oh, okay, that reminds me of this part of the desert. Yeah,
let's hear it now. And I think that's a really interesting approach to composition and holds much potential for the future. I look forward to hearing from you in the future. Joseph, what is the desert saying?
Well, the desert is quite directly lifted from the Bible, actually. It's the story of when Jesus went into the desert for 40 days. But what we've done is looked at a very modern interpretation of that song to look at us in a very busy Western world, how sometimes we crave to go to a place where there is solace, where there is peace, where we can strip ourselves from all these layers of materialism and try and make sense of what matters most in life. In this particular song, we look at a couple of paradoxes. One of them is that it's on one hand very Australian, the centre of Australia, yet it's very much the centre of the Arabian world where we have originally come from. It's a paradox because on one hand it's a place that's ostensibly dead, yet if you look closely and experience the desert, it's actually full of life, but it's a more subtle form of life. And, you know, in the song we use that expression, scrub my soul with sand, to explain that notion of stripping down the layers to your core essence, cleansing yourself as well from all of the woes of the world.
Well, let's have a listen. This is The Desert from The Heartbeats. The music of The Heartbeats and The Desert here on Open House. Joseph, your music, you mentioned it before, has a clear Eastern flavour. It's quite a new frontier for much Western music. In particular, it's the musical flavour of the region where Jesus lived.
Well, that's true, and we'd also go as far as saying it's probably the last frontier. Music has dabbled in all sorts of East-West fusion for a long, long time, but there aren't many successful musical artists that have actually incorporated something that is from the heart of the Middle East, and in our case, Lebanese. So we're very proud and excited about introducing that into mainstream music. And as you correctly said, it also happens to be the birthplace of Jesus. And I think people do tend to forget that the majority of Christians in the world are Western Christians. And I think after a while, we begin to actually believe that he was a white-skinned, blue-eyed Hollywood actor.
Yes, yeah.
And he wasn't. He's actually from our part of the world. And so, you know, we're really quite inspired to try and recreate some of the music that incorporates a lot of the music of the region, the local music of the region, but making it still palatable and listenable by an Australian or a Western audience.
So there are perspectives musically you can bring to the West from Eastern music. Are there perspectives to the Western Christian world you can also bring?
Oh, most definitely. And I think the music, in essence, is a reminder of the origins of Christianity. We don't necessarily want to say that we have exclusivity or we're closer to Jesus than others. But certainly, I think it is a historical fact that Eastern Christians have a great connection to the land, the soil, the desert, the earth, the sea, all those parts. People in Lebanon have almost a sacred relationship with the soil, with the aroma, with the cedar trees. And so I think those things are different to the Western Christians, many of whom are my friends, because theirs is a much more esoteric, abstract relationship. I find ours is a very physical. We actually quite enjoy walking in the physical footsteps of where Jesus walked.
Yep.
There's something very different.
My wife and I visited the Holy Land some 6 years ago now, and you're never quite the same.
No, people are reduced to tears. There is something very powerful about that. And we try and bring that in to our music. And I think, like we were saying before, the ultimate compliment in music, I think, is where people are brought to tears. And like Laith was saying before, if people can close their eyes, and Lara doesn't have to, obviously, it's already there. But if you can actually just let the music take you to a particular place, it's a beautiful journey.
Yeah. Let me ask each of you where you want to take your music, the heartbeats. Michael, what would you say?
My music to me is very important. And if I can influence others through music, whether it be mine or the heartbeats together as a group, if I can influence them to live their life as Christians and that's pretty much my goal in life. Like, everything I ever written, everything I will write has and does have Christian values and morals behind it. If I can get all this young crowd to listen to music that they will like, and then also have the lyrics help them live their life in better ways and to turn their ways towards God, I want my music to do, whether any way, shape or form.
Including rap.
Yes, including
rap. Laith, what do you say? Where do you see music fitting into your life, say, in 10, 20 years' time?
Well, very similar to Michael. I also want to inspire others to make them enjoy what God has given us, and we want deep music that has meaning, inspiring, and people actually want to learn from it and don't want to just go and be mainstream. They actually want to follow Jesus.
Yeah. Lara, how would you describe the role of music in your life?
In the future, I want people to recognize the heartbeats music and like it and listen to it and actually enjoy it and learn things from it. All the songs in the heartbeats have messages about God in them, and because the heartbeat songs are actually good songs, and it makes people think differently about their life, and it makes them want to believe in God, and it makes them want to be inspired.
Yeah. Joseph, there's something about music and the power of music like no other, isn't there?
There is. I think from the beginning, Lee, I mean, I don't come from a musical family, but even as a youngster, I remember the power of music to change people's moods, how it can bring them to dance, to cry, to laugh. I think the ultimate compliment for me, I'm a father of teenage children, is when they're singing your songs in the shower and they don't realise that you're actually listening. I mean, you know, the juvenile judiciary are probably the harshest judges of music. But if they actually can really sing your songs and can't get them out of their head, that is a great compliment.
Yeah.
So we're very aware of the power of music to move people, to change their moods and to get them to think differently. The lyrics are part of the song, but they're really lifted by the rest of the song, the melody, the percussion, the harmonies.
Where do you see the heartbeats music going?
Well, I hope it's in exactly this direction. We would like to share our music not just with the listeners of Hope, but people internationally if we can. We'd like it to get into audiences that are not necessarily Christian, but actually can draw them in to the positive power of the Songs of the Heartbeats.
Well, Joseph, we'll wrap up with one more bit of music from the Heartbeats. This is from one of their CDs called The Blame Game. Just briefly tell us about that.
Yeah, look, Blame Game really is inspired by the book of Job and the big question of why do bad things happen to good people? I suppose the song is against the idea of karma, which says that good things will come back to you in this life. We're saying, well, not necessarily. And, you know, having a faith does not necessarily give you an insurance policy that protects you from bad things happening to you in this life. So it's an uplifting song. What's beautiful about this is that it features Michael on the dabaki, which is a Lebanese instrument, and also on rap. It's got a bit of reggae in there. So it's a real uplifting mixture. Hope you like it.
Okay, here it is. Joseph Lara, Laith Michael, thank you so much for joining us on Open House. This is The Blame Game.
Hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.